just love Hospice Maui, and I have been blessed to know you, through the work you've done for the 30 years you've been there at Hospice Maui. And I, you know, there's a special way that Maui works, and you can't put Maui into a cookie cutter model, right? I mean, it doesn't fit in a cookie cutter.
No, it definitely does not.
And over the years, you've had to make sure that everything works in a Maui-style way. And I think the team there that you picked has really been able to effectively give that aloha care, right? The special extra aloha with the kneading motions.
That's really our priority, Cindy. You know, our priority is serving people in the way that they want, in the setting that they choose, and to really have our staff do that, we have to support them in every way. So one of the main differences between our hospice care at Hospice Maui and other health care is that our supervisors aren't pushing on people in terms of getting tasks done or pushing their schedule. Our supervisors are trying to find out what they need in order to feel like they're doing the best care they possibly can. And then we have extra staff in reserve. We have backup nurses and people to step in. If a particular situation requires a lot more of someone's time than we anticipated, then we bring other staff in to help out instead of shortening a visit or dropping other visits. It's a special aloha that we bring to the hospice care that we provide to the people of Maui.
I remember we did a series of shows here for a while, the morning shows, and I had a chance to talk to some of the wonderful staff and really get an in-depth look about the deep, really deep care and dedication that your staff has. And I will always remember some of the things that were said by the people who were in charge of this moment of transition that is so beyond words, and yet able, through your staff training and dedication, able to be handled with the utmost love and aloha. And I for the life of me, I try to even imagine what that's like. And I also wonder how, you know, and through all those years, how difficult it is to try to continue the difficult process of running an operation where people go through a lot of emotional stress.
That's right. And I think one of the key elements is that you recognize that the people you're hiring can't be workers looking for a job. They have to be people who have sought out hospice care and are giving up on other things that they're very successful at in order to focus on hospice. And so we're very particular in that way about who joins us, because the care we give is purely reflective of the people who are there at the bedside.
I know you had a very wonderful program of people who went through intensive training based on years of experience.
That's our volunteer training program.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when COVID happened, what happened? Because we all know one of the huge problems we've all had has been trying to coordinate employees. And I don't know, that must have also affected volunteers over this last 18 months.
So, well, we were not really allowed to utilize volunteers in the home. So our volunteer program went into a holding pattern. Excuse me. And recently we have begun reintroducing that. But we have to operate under federal requirements that mean that all of our staff and all of our volunteers have to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And so it adds a layer of complication for our managers to be on top of that. And it's also changed what people who are in the home want. A lot of people don't want other people coming into their home, even if it's going to be helpful, because they don't want to take the risk of exposure to a contagious, even from a vaccinated person. It's still scary to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can definitely understand that. So you know, as a man, as the director, you've had, an unbelievable extra burden on your hands besides the fact was this, like, my gosh, you know, you'd seen an increase in the number of people passing before, kind of partly because that was going on with baby boomers, et cetera. But now we have the additional situation of a lot of people going through. We've seen the numbers. We've seen the numbers through the state of what's going on with COVID and everything. So there now you have also the additional number of people. Is that a separate thing? Do people with any COVID get taken care of, or is that a whole separate thing? Are you just sticking with basically other people at end-of-life situations at hospice?
We basically respond to what people ask for. And in those situations where the family or the patient asks for hospice care, if they happen to be dying of COVID, and we recently had a husband and a wife who both were healthy, exercising and totally healthy people, and both died on our service in our hallway within a few days of each other of COVID.
Oh, my gosh, how heartbreaking. You know, I say that term heartbreaking, but, you know,
The family was devastated because here they had healthy parents, and all of a sudden they both died of this disease.
Well, I'm going to let that lead us into a subject I know I've talked with you about before, which I think is so important. I hope everyone realizes now more than ever how important having the five wishes and clear instructions on what you...
Very important.
Yeah. So can you talk about that? Because, you know, I don't think, like you just mentioned, this couple never would have guessed. And what do you do if you find yourself in a situation where you hadn't thought this would happen, where you'd be at end of life and you have special instructions that haven't been clarified? Can you explain the five wishes to us?
Five wishes is one way of doing an advanced directive, an advanced healthcare directive, which means putting on paper what your preferences are for your care if you're unable to make your wishes known. So it really only comes into play if you can't let other people know, your doctor, your nurses, your family, what it is that you want. So that's why it's called advance. It's in advance of the need. So you write down what you want before you even need that. Anything you put in an advance directive, of course, you can change at any time. You can also decide to do something completely. You don't have to use it if you're still able to let your wishes be known. It's only in rare situations where your wishes are, you can't express them. The two people that I just mentioned who died on our service of COVID, they were both capable of speaking their wishes. So their advanced directives never really came into play.
Mm-hmm.
There are most situations that is the case. Advanced directives do not come into play. But when they do come into play, the presence of an advance directive prevents some potential terrible family discord.
Mm-hmm.
We had a situation where we were giving a class up at Kula Hospital, and we asked the nurses how many of them had their own advance directive. And of about 20 nurses, about five of them raised their hand.
Mm.
Four of them were in their 60s, and one of them was in her 30s. And I thought, now that's unusual. So I said, there must be a story here. She said, my husband and I were in a very, very difficult situation where one of his uncles was incapacitated and couldn't let his wishes be known. And the family was very split over what to do. And when they finally had to take some action, it caused such deep divisions in the family that were never able to be repaired. She said, my husband and I said to each other, we are not going to let that happen. So we're going to do our advance directives now. So that was why they did theirs at such an early age. They realized the importance of it. It often takes that kind of powerful and unfortunate situation to bring that point home to people, because they don't really recognize the inevitability of their own life ending. And none of us know how that's going to happen. So it makes sense to be prepared. and an advanced directive or five wishes helps one prepare, helps you think it through. It helps you talk it through with others, and then it puts it down in writing so that that's available for others to refer to later.
You have seen, unfortunately, and some of your workers have seen situations close to death where people are ready to transition, and the family members are even getting into difficult situations even before the death, even before the transition, and it gets even more intense sometimes, of course, if it isn't clarified. It's such an emotional time anyway. That somehow it really causes some very hard situations in families and loved ones and even friends if people feel like that there's manipulation going on at the deathbed. So I really recommend people. It's a hard thing for people to do because, you know, it's as much as we've talked about death, as much as you've seen death, it's still something people do not like to put down because they think they're going to jinx themselves and die or something if they put down what they want in their advanced directives or their five wishes. So, but that's, you know, that's not true. And actually, I think it helps bring peace of mind to someone if they get in that close situation where going, at least I know this is taken care of, right?
Right. And that's peace of mind, not just for that individual, but for their family.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about something I was mentioning just before you called about usually in the past, a couple of your major fundraisers and fun things that you've done have not been able to happen, of course, because of COVID.
That's right.
But I do know that, you know, you're just because you can't do the events and you can't have dine out and other things, you still have to have the money coming in to do what you wish to do. And I'm really going to ask people to think about donating, or maybe the Kakua Fund. Maybe you can talk about ways and needs that you have for people to donate to.
Our Kakua Fund is a special fund that people can donate to that allows us to provide room and board subsidies, really, for our hale. You know, we have our five-bed hale, which is up on the top of Mahalani Street with our office. It's across from the hospital and up the hill. And It's been well utilized over the last 5 years that we've opened it. We opened it just 5 years ago. And
happy anniversary! I know how hard you worked. I mean, what, 10 years to get that place built?
Yes, it took us 10 years to get that place built.
Yeah.
And the room and board cost is often not covered by insurance, and so we have to charge people. And it's a significant amount of money, and it's like the cost of a hotel room. And if a person doesn't have a way to pay, we have a fund that we raise money for so that we never have to turn anyone away based upon their ability to pay. And so we have a website, hospicemaui.org, and there are ways to donate that are listed there. And one of the things is the Kokua Fund. And so if a person wants to donate to the Kokua Fund, they can do it there. We also accept unrestricted donations, which means that we use the money according to what our needs happen to be. And you're right, Cindy, the need for community support is, of course, higher when we're not able to do any fundraising kinds of activities. So it is an important thing. This is the fall, which is our annual campaign time, and so people will be, if they haven't already, they'll be receiving some mailings of what we're up to these days and how they can support us. We have a new thing on our website, and that is videos. We have produced 6 videos about hospice. We have one that's like a virtual tour of our hale and our campus. We have one that features our board of directors, one that features our staff leadership, you know, our department heads. And we have 3 testimonials from family members. And I urge people to look at those. They run between 3 and 6 or 7 minutes each. And they're very, very powerful, very nicely done. And they tell the inside story of Hospice Maui. I think people would find that most interesting and engaging.
I'm glad you've done that. I remember hearing stories, right, people who have gone through the loss of a loved one, and have been so impressed by the care given at Hospice Maui that they became volunteers and very, very closely aligned.
Right, that's right.
And that is a testimonial that is very touching in itself. You think about these people who have gone through so much, and yet they realize how the good work you're doing, and they want to give back because they were impressed by. And it's life-changing. It's not just impressed. The word impressed doesn't work. When you are in those situations, no one can really experience it till they go through it, how at that time you need a certain kind of help and strength and support. And your team has constantly come through to help people at that crucial time in their life that they really cannot prepare for.
That's right. That's what our charge is. That is our sacred trust, which we take very seriously.
I was once talking to one of your beautiful people that did the end-of-the-life care about a service you had provided with the putting oils and fragrance and a special sacred box.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's our after-death care.
I always remembered how beautiful that was with a beautiful box that you had of a special little sacred little box of memories. And I was like, my gosh, I had no idea you would take that extra step. Is this something you would not get in a hospital? Just saying, you never get this in a hospital, right?
That's right.
Can you explain how that worked?
Well, again, our goal is to support the family members and the patient through this most difficult time. And one of the things that I think is lost in our society is proper care of the body after death. Typically, a person dies and they're zipped up into a plastic duffel bag and carted off, and then only seen after if there's an open wake or a viewing. And there is something that can be added to that. And so one of the things that we do at Hospice Maui is we allow family members, if they wish, to be involved in bathing and dressing the body of this person who just died. And we do that. We have special lavender-scented oils and soaps, and we light a candle, and there's a number of little things that can be involved in it. And it sets aside a very special time. And, of course, it requires our staff to have nothing else pressing on them to be present and to help with this. And that's one of our commitments, is to provide a level of staffing that we can continue to do those things, because those things really do touch people. They really help people move forward beyond that day and that very difficult time.
And that does, again, one of those things that truly does make a difference and is so unique to the support and the spiritual care. I had a friend a few years back who passed away there, and someone did a video, and Amy Hanai Lee Gilliam came in to sing Aloha Oi, and there were like friends surrounding the body. There were lays around. It was a circle of such a Maui aloha and support that you could see happening as the loved one was getting ready to transition, that you couldn't even quite, picture this happening, that the grace of being able to have that happen in that situation. And that was just one time I happened to see someone took a video where I could see it. But I don't think we can even imagine how many times I've sometimes wondered, I wonder if that's happened before. It must have happened before, because you know how Maui is and how friends are, right? And I mean, how amazing to have Amy come in and sing Aloha, that's a great way to, if you have to transition, to be able to go with your friends, with flower lays, with candles, with someone singing you Aloha, right?
That's pretty much a very, it's an ideal Maui picture of that. And our organization is a reflection of this island and this culture. And so, of course, we facilitate that whenever it's desired.
You know, and again, that's the difference. You know, that is the difference that's hard to imagine that you see. And I'm sure when people see that work there as well, I really am sure that at that point they get rededicated too, because they know that kind of magic, that kind of caring is something that you really would like to see more people receive, right?
And, that's right.
And you can't, you know, we all know what it's like in a hospital, and we've all spent time, although this last year many people couldn't even go to the hospital when their loved ones were passing. It's so sad. You know, FaceTime maybe, right? But in this day and age, this is like to be able to say, okay, we're going to do this. This has now come to this point. We accept it, and we're going to be there in love and caring to help. And so, I do want to mention as well is that you answer the phone there. You know, at this day and age, my gosh, I just hate getting an answering machine. I really do. I hate.
We have a person who answers the phone 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, that just calling 244-5555 and having someone to talk to, and always someone nice who is helpful, not just someone answering the phone, but someone nice who's there. That makes a difference. And again, that's just an example of actually.
And it makes a bigger difference to people who are in the midst of a very difficult time.
Yeah, and I know that you've provided spiritual support as well. You have a team that
That's
understands
right.
that as well, and follow-up support as well. So I would like to really encourage people to think about, you know, at a time like this. This is our local-based Maui Important Site, Hospice Maui, and if you can donate, if you can help, you know, maybe you would have helped before by dining out or doing some event, but if you can help at all, hospicemaui.org is a good site. You can check out those videos, which I'm glad you put up, that are there, and you can read a little bit more about what Hospice Maui is all about. I mean, there's so much work and time and dedication that's gone into what you've done. I know just what it was like building the Holly, etc. And 30 years is a long time, Greg, and you've known a lot of other wonderful people who have retired since then, who just said, no, I'm going to retire. But you've hung in there, so.
It'll be 32 years, actually, in a couple of months for me. You know, an interesting thing, Cindy, is that our Hale is just 5 beds. And in 2020, we admitted 155 patients.
Wow. Wow. I can't even imagine. Wow.
So it is a very well utilized facility. Very well utilized.
I think you need to do another one, Greg. That's what you're building. You need to build another one.
I think we're taking care of most of the acute needs in terms of hospice related. You know, the people really want to stay in their homes as much as possible. And so we don't bring people into our Hale who are going to probably continue to live for a number of weeks. We like to make it only for people who are really in the very, very ending stages, hours or days, maybe a week or so. And we also use that place to take a hospital discharge of a patient who wants to go home, but where the care needs are a little bit more intense. And so we bring them into our Hale, and we train the families on how to do the care.
Oh, that's great. I did not know that.
And then we send them home.
I was not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, happy anniversary for Hospice Maui. 40 years is wonderful. And
5 years.
And 5 years for the Hale is great. And for 32 years of your service, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk. We'll make a point of trying to talk again. And I encourage everyone to go to hospicemaui.org. Check it out. See if you can give anything. And you will also see the opportunities for yourself to explore what's there for you and what you can do to make plans, you know, for the future and beyond. The future and beyond. So thank you, Greg. God bless you for what you do.
Thank you, Cindy. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about this.
You too. Aloha.
Aloha.